Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on X at jwright929 ESPN. As always, you can listen on your radio dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial and you want to keep up with everything happening here at the station, you can do so by downloading the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. All you got to do is download the Odyssey app in your app store and subscribe to 92.9 FM. It's free to subscribe, and you can listen to us on demand. You can also listen anytime, anywhere. So go ahead and do that on the Odyssey app. Dennis Fuller producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company today, of course, the host of Fun and Games here in Memphis, including Writer Than Right Trivia, airing tomorrow on the Jeff Calkins Show, 10:30 a.m. We'll have another fabulous prize to give away. He's also the host of 9-1 Wrestling, Cerrito Entertainment Newsletter. You can subscribe to that over at CerritoEntertainment.com. On Twitter, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Good day to you. It's a rainy day on this Wednesday.
A lot of water out there. I saw a lot of wrecks. Be careful, people.
Yeah, be safe as you're driving around here on a Wednesday. But this has been a fun part of my weekly routine every single week here, coming in here, talking some sports with you, Jeffrey. There's a lot to unpack as we give everybody a chance to escape everything else for a few hours, and let's talk some sports.
Also, another thing that you can hear tonight on 92.9 FM ESPN, it is the Lakers game. So the Grizzlies hosting the Lakers tonight, 6:30 for pregame. Eric will have tip-off at 7 p.m. So we're going to start buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit.
Well, if you're not going to the game, come watch it with me. I'll be at a Celtic Crossing. We're playing trivia.
Ooh, watch party?
Trivia.
Ooh, trivia and watch party.
Trivia. The game will be on. We'll have the sound on in between the rounds. So you get the sound, and the game will be on all the TVs. And cheer the Grizzlies on tonight.
If I wasn't on solo dad duty.
Yeah, Celtic's place to be every Wednesday anyway, especially if there's a game on. We've always got it happening during trivia. But also Ghost River Tap Room, we've got trivia happening down there as well. If the rain stops, you'll be able to hang out. They got a cool new outdoor space down there on South Main. But a lot happening. Rail Garden will have the game on for music bingo. And so will Dan McGinnis down there in South Haven. They got music bingo, and the game will be on. The game's always on at all of our events. So.
Always something to do. You can check out all the events at CerritoEntertainment.com. We'll start with Buy, Sell, Short, or Go to Reddit. Next segment, we'll probably take a little bit more of a detailed look at the pregame. We also have some news that Taylor Jenkins will not be with the team tonight because of a death in the family. So we'll discuss if that may have any impact or implications onto tonight's game. We will get into the list. The Browns uncommitted on the future of Deshaun Watson. No duh. Discuss that and more from the world of sports. Then another great addition that Kevin has brought to the program. CJ Hurt going to join us at 3:30. Love having CJ on. We'll talk everything with him. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But let's fire up some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. All right, Kevin, I wanted to see if indeed the Grizzlies, when I checked this morning, were favored, which kind of took me by surprise a little bit. I didn't know if that was a tip about whether or not they believe that Anthony Davis will play. He, of course, is questionable tonight. Let's see.
One thing's not questionable about him right now is his scoring ability. He's the leading scorer in the NBA right now.
He needs to rest that foot. He needs to. Like, you can't be too safe, Anthony. This is your health we're talking about. Like, let's be safe out there.
Yeah, let's rest tonight.
Rest up. And then you can get a little extra rest with the way the schedule works. Go ahead and take care of that. All right, let's start here big picture. So this isn't specific to tonight's game. This is just speaking in general.
Okay.
The Lakers' home game is the biggest home game on the schedule every year. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit.
Every year, past, present, future?
Yeah.
I'll buy that. I'll buy that. It's really, you know, some things are right, like economy proof, right? People say, oh, you know, it doesn't, you know.
It doesn't really matter how the team's doing, how the wallet's doing. Like, it's one that will always have a crowd.
Yeah, there will always be a crowd for the Lakers game. And that's important, right?
Absolutely.
The energy inside the building is important. But currently, right now, I don't even think it's close. If we're talking about the current schedule, I don't know what Chris Herrington ranked number one as the game to go to.
It
probably wasn't the Lakers because there's that.
And he's also a Laker hater.
Right, because there's the bias against the Lakers. Like, you should just sell your tickets to that game because you can make more money off of it. But the Lakers, not only is it a marquee name and brand and history that goes along with that team, but right now, of course, you've got LeBron James. You got LeBron James. And you also currently have Anthony Davis, who is playing up to his above and beyond his potential at the moment, if he plays tonight. We'll see.
And he shouldn't. He should stay healthy.
Exactly. He needs to rest. I mean,
he gave it 3.5 stars.
3.5 out of 5?
I believe it's out of 4,
is it just
right?
Is it 4-star? Is 4-star?
Because isn't it based on the consumer guide?
Yeah.
Isn't in consumer rankings, aren't those 4 out of 4?
So that's not, that much, I mean, it should be a high ranking. So you've got not only the history of the Lakers, but now you got LeBron on there. But then you want to tie it into now that there's actually some playoff history between these teams, and you can't forget about the playoffs. The shocking first, was it the first round? Was it the first round that happened?
It was the first round.
Yeah, first round shocking.
Remember, they played in the play-in.
Yeah.
They came out of the play-in, and the Grizzlies awaited them because it was like them or the Pelicans, maybe? I think that's who they were going to play.
And the Grizzlies fans, I was excited at the time because
it gave more attention. It gave more attention to us than we've had in a very long time.
Right.
Well, I guess maybe since the Warriors series.
But that was the most attention you can have.
Those were back-to-back.
Right. In the opening round of the playoffs, that's the most attention you could ever have. I think peak attention that you can get. That, to me, was why I was excited that matchup happened. It's the native Memphian often go back to for not having, if you can remember, so many people know we're in 2024 have grown up here and so they're in their mid 20s now and don't know what it's like not to have a professional sports team. But like, it's that moment. It's one of those moments where it's just like, there's not many of them left for the Grizzlies. Obviously going to the NBA finals, winning the championship would be a big deal, but like playing the Lakers,
winning a game in the Western Conference finals.
Yeah, that would be just, yeah.
A game. I'm not saying we have to win the series.
That would be a moment, but I don't know if it was like...
You are 100% right. Like, if you think
that
about...
That was a big major league sports town thing that came really late here in the Grizzlies' tenure in Memphis.
The two moments that stuck out to me of like, oh, this is cool, like, because I don't know, what is it, 12 or something? Jordan playing in the pyramid, even though it was with the Wizards. It was still Michael Jordan.
Yep.
And he was my favorite player. And then the Kobe and Shaq. Like, when they came to town, then you had the Beat L.A. chant when...
That was
like
huge.
That was the first moment
the
that everybody...
The Beat L.A. chant.
Yeah. I think that historic. Was the first moment that everybody realized, like, oh, that's what this can be. Now, I don't know if... I think it is... Despite the fact that there hasn't been a championship or whatnot, I would say the Grizzlies... If you take the mood of what the fan base thought and what people here thought locally when the Grizzlies came here, it has been an overwhelming success. Because the running joke was they're leaving. Like, they're going to leave.
Right.
It's not going to work. It won't work here. It's still Tiger Town. So I think they've exceeded those expectations. But I do think that was a huge moment. The Beat LA was a huge moment in making people realize, like, oh, that's what this can be.
No, that's a great point. It also goes to solidify the fact I believe this is the biggest game on the schedule every year. It to me, it is. So you could use the analogy. We're both big college football guys, right? But like you think of those Auburn, Alabama. Yes, those it means a lot to both of those teams.
Yeah.
But for everybody in the NBA, no matter how bad you are,
yep.
Like you turn it up for that Laker game and you have a chance to win that Laker game. And if you win that Laker game, it's not as big as winning the Iron Bowl or the Egg Bowl or something, but it is like the biggest game on the schedule. It is the Super Bowl if you're a terrible team. And if you're a terrible team, the Lakers game matters is what I'm saying. Like if you're a terrible team and you're in the Lakers game still matters, while many of the other games do not.
I think it's a lot like playing the Cowboys in this sense.
Well, sure. Yeah, but not everybody gets, you know.
Right, but I think it's a lot like this. Even like right now, is beating the Cowboys. My thing is like, and maybe it's because the Cowboys are in my division, but anytime, and it happens so infrequently because
it's
like,
similar. I mean, both teams are similar. Yankees, Cowboys,
national fan base.
Yankees, Cowboys, Lakers, those, you know, in individual sports.
Even if they're bad, it still feels good. You know what I mean? Like, you can do like the, like, what if you're like, are you online? They suck, so why do you care anyway? It's like, I don't know. It's fun beating them, man. It really is.
And it should be. It should, when your team beats the Lakers, when your team beats the Cowboys, there's certain other, you know, the teams on that list. And that's what the Lakers game is big no matter what is happening with your franchise. It was big, last year when it was just big. It's just a big game. And I don't see it changing. You know, it's not going to change. LeBron's going to leave someday. You know, he's going to retire. His grandchildren might be playing for the Lakers, but
that's true.
But he's going to retire. And
three generations of Lakers.
They all play together.
LeBron comes out of retirement for just one. I'm going to buy it for all the reasons that you mentioned. The other thing that I would point out is the NBA decided under David Stern that the name on the back of the jersey was going to matter more than the name on the front of the jersey. It was a league that did not have nearly the history and the franchises were like, weren't as embedded in certain cities as compared to the other leagues. Like obviously baseball's so much older, Major League Baseball so much older, but the NFL had a little bit more of connection to the city. So because of that, you wound up with very few franchises that like are national franchises. Like I think you got the Lakers because I don't even really think, do you consider the Celtics to be
I was like
a national brand? It's obviously a big brand.
When they're winning, more so, but
it was, like,
Warriors,
it was like
the Warriors have as recent times have been such a bigger national brand than the Celtics.
But see, and that's what I was trying to decide. Is it Warriors or is it Steph? Because I actually
we're
think
we're gonna find out. We're in this gonna find out stage here.
I think the closest thing we got to was the Bulls.
Because
the Bulls, even post Jordan, there were still some people that were trying to follow the Bulls, but the Bulls have been just so ineptly run that it's like
I feel like it was a Calkins show. It was one of them I was listening to that somebody called in. I don't remember if it was Right or the Right Trivia. Somebody just traveled in from the outskirts of Memphis.
Oh, that's right. He didn't go to the Bulls game.
Yes. Yeah, he brought his son.
His son's a Bulls. He's a Grizzly fan. His son's a Bulls fan. I think.
Don't know how that happened.
I think is what it said. Yeah, he drove in for like 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, and I think the Bulls was helped by the WGN.
No question. That definitely
situation.
There's definitely an element of that because you could not watch. Like I was telling Calkins, this is kind of how I feel. I think part of normally when you see the franchise that wins at an unbelievable rate, you get the bandwagon, and that's how you build a fan base. But there's something weird about, because he pointed out, he's like, well, why not the Patriots? And there was obviously some of that with, one of my friends from college is from L.A. They didn't have a team, so he's a diehard Patriots fan. Then, ironically, he wound up moving to Boston. So that kind of worked out for him. But he also moved to Boston when they started sucking, so that's kind of tough. But, there was a little of that. But I think, to your point, I think when we started being able to watch all of the games, more or less, like, when you had access, like, Sunday Ticket coming along, and then just the more popular that sports on TV got, I think it started making it more difficult to have everybody populate at one team. And I think you're 100% right with WGN helping that Bulls identity, because that was one of the teams you could watch in Memphis every night. It's the same thing with the Cubs, Cubs and Braves. Like, kids of the 90s oftentimes fell into one of those two categories just because you could watch all the games.
Right. I mean, that's I could quote you every episode of Saved by the Bell because of, you know,
bingo,
TBS and WGN. But
the superstations.
Yes. That's one of the avenues into becoming a sports fan that is no longer around.
Yes.
Right. So you become a sports fan. Oftentimes it's passed on from the family, right?
The family.
It's your dad, your family member, uncle, somebody that made you a fan of that team, and sometimes made you a fan of the rival, right?
Sure.
Depending on your relationship with that said family member. You could also become a fan because of the city you live in.
I would argue the second one happens more between brothers or siblings of the same age. So like, for whatever reason, my brother and I are 2 years apart. Like, if I picked the Gators, he was a Florida State fan.
He's going against, yep.
Yeah, and then, but where he got me back is he picked Tiger Woods in 1997. So like, I had to like go through like the doldrums of like David Duvall, then I never really was that big of a VJ guy. Phil, and then
do y'all have a draft or how does this?
I can't explain it. It's ridiculous. Like, and I don't know, but it just develops that way. It's like whenever you're that close in age, there's just this instinct to differentiate yourself from the other.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And so the family dynamic made it happen.
Yes.
There's your geographical location, right? So whether you grew up there or if you moved there and you're looking away to connect.
Some type
wherever,
of connection.
Yeah, where you live. But there's this family and it's your location. And then there was for a while this third way, which was through television. And I don't think anybody really becomes a fan through television as much anymore. Now, the NBA can get you.
I think you're
pass,
right. No, you. No,
but there's
you're
no channel surfing the WGN and TBS.
You don't stumble on Kerry Wood's. Was it 19? No, 21 strikeouts. Like I vividly remember being home from school the day that Kerry Wood, because the Cubs played so many games in the afternoon before
they had lights.
Well, they had.
I don't know if they had lights then, but
I think they put in lights in like 88, but yeah. Because the neighborhood, Wrigleyville, used to have so much power, and then the Ricketts bought it, and they're like, screw y'all. Like, we're not listening to anything you say. We don't care. So they used to play so many games in the afternoon. I remember coming home watching Kerry Wood strike out 21 on WGN.
Because you talk about Cubs and Braves and the Bulls. Of course, the Bulls benefited a lot from Michael Jordan.
They televised the intro.
Right, they televised
the introductions, the player introductions.
Think that changed sports in a lot of ways because the fact that you get to see that all the time and expect something like that.
By the way, search it on YouTube. That video presentation, you remember the bull running through the streets of Chicago on the video, on the Jumbotron? You're like, oh my God, it's like it's real. It's the same experience like if you go and you play an N64 right now where... You know the first time you played Mario on the N64 and you could spin around the room and you're video games, there's no, like, we peaked. Like,
right.
But there's no way it can ever get better than this. Yeah. And then if you go and you see an N64 today, you're like, oh my God, like, how is this possible? It's like when you see a game that's not in HD, like an old game that's not in HD, you're like, someone put the Bulls old intro video up on YouTube and you're like, oh wow, that is not as cool as I remember it. Because I got to tell you, 1996, that thing was awesome.
But it was because, I mean, it was cool and it was very important for NBA culture and the way that these NBA games are organized. And you can go back to even like from a local perspective on what Jerry Lawler and people were doing at the Mid-South Coliseum that just changed professional wrestling forever by, we started the music videos and the intro music and all that stuff. And those elaborate entrances that he was having, they were cool at the time because you didn't see it very much. And pretty much you saw a lot of it when you had to be there in person. And like you're saying, it was in low def, probably fuzzy cable television.
Not great.
That you were watching, but Lakers game, no doubt, biggest game of the year. I can't think of another one that every year it matters.
I do think there was a point in which the peak of the Warriors, there was a case to be made. The problem is, I don't think it was sustainable.
And you can't bet on the future of it.
Correct. And so I do think the Lakers are the one team, and the Lakers have always, even when they haven't been good, they've always had you know, a star player, like a named player. And so I just think year in, year out, like it's always going to be the biggest game. Like, even if they're not good, it's still like, you know, even when they were just basically just making sure Kobe got every single like record, and beating them was still fun because it was Kobe Bryant. It's the Lakers. And right. I don't think there's another team in the league that even is in that like level of national fan base.
When you take all the names off of the back of all of the jerseys, right. And would it matter?
Yes, I just think it's still
about that game. Yeah,
there's something about their colors. It's like iconic, and there's just something about it. I don't think, because I don't even really think the Celtics to me are like a great franchise and a franchise that you would kind of want to model, because there's not a ton of sucking. You know what I mean? Like, they're usually pretty competitive year in, year out. Like, take away the fact that they're the defending champion, but they're usually always pretty good. Other than like the one moment where like they were trying to tear it down, and now they haven't looked back since. But I just don't even feel like there's something about the Boston teams are just so Boston centric rather than nationally centric.
Yeah, it's interesting because right, the Patriots, you're right, is the same way. They were,
and the Red Sox are the same thing. Like, I know there's I think the Red Sox, I feels
for
like
that one year, kind of like the country rallied behind them.
Well, it also feels like the Red Sox, of their three teams, their three big teams, the Red Sox is the one that has the most national fans, but it still doesn't feel like it's that big of a number. But like, if I'm saying,
right,
Pats, Celtics, or Red Sox, where are you more likely to find in Memphis? Which are you most likely to find? I feel like it's Red Sox.
Probably, but like, who's wearing the? You probably will see probably more Celtic stuff because it's NBA city. I would think you might see somebody wearing.
Well, then there's also
Celtic.
The element of when you now are in NBA town. You know, you don't. You're now a Grizzly fan,
right? Like, you should be. But let's say if you're going to Boston, like you're playing, you're more likely to go to a Red Sox game than you would go to any of the other ones, more than likely.
Yeah, because there's also,
unless your team is playing,
there's something like Fenway Park's more iconic. Also, Foxborough's not Boston, so it's like out. It's tough
That's
to
true.
Get to.
That is
like
true,
it's
yeah.
like there's only like there's like one highway in, one highway
Fenway
out.
Fenway is Boston,
and Fenway is like in the middle of a neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, cannot recommend it enough. All right, we'll talk some more Grizzlies here in a moment. So I wanted to get to a little Tiger stuff. And you had brought my attention to a column or a story that Jonah has written over at the Commercial Appeal. And I thought this would be a good buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. Buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. The Ryan Silverfield era has been a success.
It's too close to call, Jeffrey.
Easy.
Those
didn't last very long.
This year,
we started making pretty early calls last night.
This year, so I'll call it right now. I'll go ahead and call it.
So I guess I'll say this. I am making the assumption that this team doesn't find a way to the conference championship game. Because they're basically two games out.
What's the path here? So I don't see a path.
The path would be Navy loses. So if Navy loses again, you need Navy to lose twice. So they're going to have to lose to both Tulane and then another conference game. And I don't even know how many options they have left.
It's wild how things have changed, right? Because we were talking on this very show, on this very day of the week, following the big win at Florida State.
So they have, basically, they have three games left. They have at South Florida this week, Tulane at home next week.
Wait, did they play Rice already?
They lost to Rice. There was a big weather delay, and the game got delayed like 4 hours, and they lost 24-10. So that was the other kick in the nuts for Saturday you finally got what you would have. If you just beat UTSA, truly the path was cleared.
It was going
to
happen.
If you went out, the Tulane game was for almost all certainty was going to be winner goes to the championship game. So now what you need is, and it's not impossible, Navy to lose one of the South Florida, at South Florida or at East Carolina, and then you need Tulane to lose, and then you would have to beat Tulane. And so that way you would have.
And the thing is, do you believe that this?
I don't.
I mean, it could happen, obviously.
It can happen.
Would you bet on it? Because you do like to bet.
I think Tulane's the best team in the league. And I'm kicking myself for not taking the Tulane to win the conference when I was very close to betting it. All right, so what Tulane has left is, this ain't happening. Tulane's got Temple on Yeah, it is not impossible, but it kind of is.
It's
like you haven't been mathematically eliminated, but you might as well be.
And so much of it all is building that excitement around this team. And so has it been a success? I would say no, it has not been a success. I will sell that is what I'm doing because
I guess
I wanted to believe it. It had potential to do so. Like when after the Florida State game, it was going in that direction, and it still could be a success. It has not been a success yet, and I'm going to go back to that one central point that I really honestly think needs to be pointed out. If you are a Memphis Tiger fan, I think it's imperative. It is very important in this current situation that this conference is in, that the Memphis Tigers are in, the American Athletic Conference, that Memphis needs to be in the top of the league in football and basketball. And I'm not saying you got to win it every year,
but you got to be
close. Should you be in the conference game every year? Should you be a staple in that game? Really, you should. Otherwise, it is a failure. For football, you've got to be in that, especially with what? Because you got to give credit to Ryan, at least Coach Silverfield here, for apparently on paper, these are supposed to be teams that has the opportunity to do something, right? He's getting the recruits, partnering up, of course, with FedEx. We got this NIL money.
Yeah.
The situation is that he's in this a situation where he should be successful.
He is and in a
he's
situation
a part of that.
Where
and he's a part of that. He's making that part.
He's going to have, every single year, he's going to have access to, at worst, the second best roster, talent wise.
And so for football and basketball, you've got to be like, if you're the basketball team, you need to be winning the regular season and or the tournament. I mean, you've got to be at the top. You got to be playing to win it. When you're in a terrible conference like this,
you got to dominate.
You got to be the best. Otherwise, who's to say you deserve anything else?
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm with you in this sense that I believe two things can be true. Dominating your league does not equal get invited up. This is not like the European soccer system of you get promoted. It doesn't equal that. But also, I can hold this thought.
Right.
They should be having more success than they do in football and basketball. I mean, basically, the only year that I feel like in basketball,
doesn't equate it, but it helps.
No,
Gonzaga is in the Pac-12.
Correct.
Because I mean, Memphis, you know, obviously,
they're not mutually exclusive,
right?
Yes,
it does help you. The perception is important. The perception of the university, and
the reality is, if you're not dominating, it's going to be tough to get.
And domination is like
whatever being in the game,
right? You don't have to play Tulane and blow them out in the championship. Right.
I'm just asking you not to be eliminated on Halloween.
Right. Exactly. Like we want to, the Tigers have been out since
we should be counting down to Thanksgiving Day, a winner take all Tulane game, and we're not.
It needs to be where it's like, oh, here we go again. Like just that feeling you had back in Conference USA with Calipari. It's just like it was just the expectation. And let's get to that point. Like Alabama fans have had for so long in the SEC until this year. It was like, well, you know, we'll see how we do in the playoffs because they just knew they were going to make the playoffs.
Well, it's part of like the Ryan Day story is the fact that like say what you want about the man. And there's a lot to say about Urban Meyer. But it's like that 10-year run at Ohio State is insane. And so like you've just gone from dominating the Big Ten, being a perennial playoff team and like, now you couldn't beat Michigan for 3 years when they peaked and you lose a 1-point game to Oregon. It's like, has it cratered or is it like maybe that was an unsustainable level? But the thing is, I guess this is the question. If something is not a failure, is it a success? Is there something in between? Because to me, it's very obvious that the Ryan Silverfield era has not been a failure.
Definitely not a failure yet, but the circumstances have changed, right?
And, yes.
And so there is some different type of pressure when you're in this circumstance. And
I'm selling it too. I don't know what the case would be for that it has been a success. The league is weaker than it's ever been. You still haven't played in the championship game.
Right.
And yet again, like
That's because it's a great question. I think it's an obvious answer that it's not a success.
Yeah.
Does not mean he's not there. He can't get it done. It does not mean that. I just think that's still possible, that he could be the guy for the job to get it done next year. And again, it's because of the circumstances. It's that Memphis is in the right position to win every year. And you come back, they're in the same conference again next year.
Woo,
and so they can win it again. And also we'll have a chance to get that automatic group of five bid in the college football playoffs.
Maybe the last one.
Yeah. And completely is next year going to be the last
one. A good chance.
So what happened to renegotiating with this Pac 8, 7, 8, 4, whatever number they are right now? We need to renegotiate them. But next year could be the last year.
I don't think that's off the table. I think there's a quiet negotiating period.
You think it's going on right now? You think it's happening behind the scenes?
I think there. You know, like what is it when in the NBA when legal tampering opens up, but you can agree to deals, but nothing gets official week or whatever, 4 days, 5 days. I think it might kind of be that
because it is very quiet, and they did leave it on such a suspenseful season finale
You should have your
antenna. We still need one more.
When things go quiet in college athletics, that's when you should have your antenna up.
Oh, cool. Well, that's great. That could be great news. But we switched before we wrap up this conversation on Ryan Silver. So the question in the commercial appeal was asking,
and how will this season in particular?
Yeah, in the clickbait article.
Jonah. Sorry,
I mean, he didn't write the headline. How will Memphis football's 2024 season be remembered?
And
we're already trying to do that. I mean, the season's not over yet. We got three games, but how will it be remembered? And I'm just going to say it's not going to be remembered at all. If it's going to be remembered, Florida State game.
Well, it's funny. Not remembered at all is kind of the same. My thing was more of the same. It's not bad. It's kind of this era in general. It's clearly not a failure.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's clearly not a success. And that's just kind of it. I feel like the Silverfield era is kind of being encapsulated by just living in that space.
Hopefully it will be remembered as the year there was a hole inside of the stadium. Maybe they'll get that.
I think you're right. There's still going to be
but the Florida State game is something Tiger fans will be like, remember, what was that year that we beat Florida State? You know, because it's the Florida State game. You cannot forget it. Anytime the Tiger beat, even though, you know, Florida State.
But I think it kind of goes back to the first thing we were talking about. Beating Florida State's kind of like beating the Lakers. Even if they suck, it was still fun. They went to Tallahassee. I get it. They were 0-2 when you went there. But at the same time, we didn't know that they were going to be 1-8. You know what I mean? Like when you something about beating them in September that helps you still remember. Like,
and the
still
fact remember that former day. Coach who left, even though, you know, left on great terms and fans appreciate what he did. But still, there was a lot of storyline with that game
for sure
that made people look like, oh, this season could be different. But at the end of the day, that was the biggest story, that in the whole. But you know, can they rewrite it? Yes, a lot of things could fall in a way where they make it to the conference championship, but probably not.
Yeah, I think it's just gonna be kind of, I'm with you, it's like more of the same. It's like not really that memorable.
I mean, it just really, because when you're talking about, you're impacted by what, not only a bad conference, but you had a awful, historically awful home schedule.
Well, here's where, hang with me here. Again, I reiterate, I think Tulane's the best team in the league.
Yes.
But this is where you start to get into, if they were to win their final three and then go 10-2 and still miss the championship game, that's when it starts to be, how does this get remembered? Because does it get remembered for, number one, it was really dumb to ask the league to give you tough road games because you're worried about attendance?
Yeah.
That was dumb. Is it remembered for the Navy game? Or is it remembered for the UTSA game? Like, in the end, when you have those types of seasons and you still miss out, then you start thinking about what were the games that cost you.
The Navy game is... was going to go on. It goes into like this collection of all the other Navy games.
Correct.
Of this just knowing, like, it's tough. That Navy game is tough.
And you knew,
and no matter how great Navy is,
it was another road game right after the Florida State. You knew it was a trap spot to begin with because you were coming off the Florida State win. I think it gets remembered for what the hell happened on Saturday. Like, I, you know what I mean? I've gone back and rewatched the game. I guess you pinpoint, like, the fumble happening, but, like, that game flipped and went from me thinking Memphis is still going to win. This thing might be a track meet. I thought it was going to be like the Charlotte game. This thing might become a track meet, but Memphis is still going to win. And then all of a sudden, you're like, they're done. Like, it was like, boom. It went from you thinking they're going to win to they were just done. And then, like, they got the onside kick to kind of make it fake close. But then it was like, you needed another onside kick. I think if that were the case, then it gets remembered for, man, you blew it. I do think, though, the only thing that helps out is the fact that it looks like Boise State's so clearly going to be the G5 rep. I think it takes a little sting out of it.
That makes me feel better. And I'm sure it makes other Tiger fans, you know, because I was hyped. I was ready for this season with the idea that Memphis could do something that most other teams in the country had no chance to do, which is just wild how the playoffs are set up, that Memphis had a shot to do something that the majority of teams in the power conferences had no chance to do. Memphis had a chance to do it, and they're going to have a chance to do it again, at least, like you're saying, at least for one more year next year. So Ryan Silverford can really figure out his path of his true legacy or success level. But you got to win a bad conference. If you're going to be in a bad conference, you got to win these games, because otherwise, I mean, you know, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk some Grizzlies. Grizzlies and Lakers tonight. We found out today that Taylor Jenkins will not be with the team. We'll discuss that and more when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
There's big news at Zen Sports. That's right. We are launching the Big Game Sweepstakes, and it's already started. The Big Game Sweepstakes is exclusive to Tennessee, where one customer will win a grand prize of 2 VIP tickets, tailgates, parties, and hotel stay for Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. It's a prize valued at $21,998, or you can win $10,000 cash. Also, what's more is Zen Sports is also going to be awarding 50 additional prizes, which include 2 tickets to any Tennessee sporting event or $100 cash. Customers will earn 1 entry for every bet made in November, 1 entry for every dollar bet in November, and 2 times the entries for every parlay made. The drawing takes place on December the 3rd, so there's still plenty of time to get all your entries in. Also, right now, you can sign up using my referral code. That's JeffTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, and you'll receive 25% odds. You receive a 25% odds boost when you sign up with the promo code JeffTN. We're going to get into the college football playoff rankings that were revealed last night. We're going to do that during the list. C.J. Hurt also going to join us coming up in hour number 2, but wanted to take a little bit of time and discuss the Grizzlies. So the news item of today is that Taylor Jenkins will not be with the team, according to DeMichael Cole over at the CA. Memphis Grizzlies coach Taylor Jenkins is away from the team while dealing with a personal matter related to a death in the family, a Grizzlies spokesperson told the Commercial Appeal. Jenkins will miss Wednesday's game against the Lakers. Assistant coach Tomas Iasola will serve as the head coach while Jenkins is away. Yes, I did have to Google the name pronunciation during the break. Iasola is the joined the Grizzlies last summer as part of a revamped coaching staff around Jenkins. Before the season, Jenkins revealed that Iasola would be the lead assistant. He recently coached the Paris basketball or coached Paris basketball in the LNB Pro A. I believe that's the French league, which is, yep, there you go, the top division of basketball in France. So, couple of thoughts. Also, Luke Kennard upgraded to questionable. Again, I don't think this pattern held true as much last year as it had previously, but the previous kind of, if you were trying to read the tea leaves, when someone would get upgraded to questionable, they'd go through warm-ups, and as long as everything was A-OK, that person would play. So there's a decent chance Luke Kennard makes his debut tonight. But I think obviously the big question will be whether or not Anthony Davis plays, because
big question.
Like, if we're being real, Anthony Davis is a problem. Like, the Grizzlies have not presented much resistance to him when he's decided. Like, I think the only person that's really stopped Anthony Davis against the Grizzlies has been Anthony Davis. It's just been like, if there's been a game where he just kind of checks out. But
and
that,
nobody's stopping him right now.
Correct.
Nobody
he's been awesome him. This year to start. So, also, when you had, it'd be kind of nice to see Zach Edey stack up good performances. I think it'd be a lot harder if Anthony Davis is on the floor. So there's a lot of selfish reasons. Right now, the Grizzlies currently a 1.5-point favorite. My instinct says that that means he's not playing. So that, because I was thinking the Lakers would be a small road favorite, but without that, maybe not. The other thing that Jeff pointed out this morning that I just wanted everybody to make a note of, do you realize all five of the Lakers starters average more minutes than any Grizzly? All Lakers starters, I think, are averaging at least 34 minutes. The Grizzlies, do you know the Grizzlies' leading minutes guy?
Ooh, the leading minutes for this season?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, it should be Ja, but he's missed some games.
It is not.
You know?
And it's not Jaren either. No, and this is,
we need a big guy, Edey.
I'm doing the average minutes, so not total minutes.
Not average. So we're doing average. Straight up average. So how many games you played, your average time on the floor? Should be Ja.
Mm-hmm.
No, let's go with we'll say it's Jaren Jackson Jr.
Nope.
Right?
Neither one of those two guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Santi Aldama.
Okay, well, we're going to, we would have been on it.
Until
CJ.
Maybe that's not great. Just throwing this out there. Again, we're not saying the guys need to play 40 minutes a game. Like, this doesn't have to be Tibbs ball. You can have your best guys on the floor for 32 minutes. But I do think this is an interesting question. And while I still believe much of the Taylor Jenkins criticism exists online.
Where's Ja on the list?
He's like second or third. I want to say Santi's at 29 minutes and then Ja's at like 28.
I'm just thinking from like the perspective of like, yeah, you know, the Grizzlies go around. People buying tickets now to see Ja this year, right? In other cities, like at least the Grizzlies. Like if you're buying tickets to see the Lakers tonight,
it might be even worse than I think.
You're gonna get your money's worth out of seeing the Lakers. You're gonna be able to see the Lakers. The ones that do play will be playing for a big chunk of the game.
Yeah. To be clear, Santi apparently can play 30 minutes, but Ja can't. So Santi's at 29.8, Ja 28.3, Jaren at 27.5, Dez at 26.4. Jake LaRavia at 26.3, Scottie Pippen at 25, Jalen Wells at 25, Marcus Smart 19.8. His is docked because he like went out like 8 minutes into a game, so that counts.
Do you feel like this is going to be adjusted?
A little bit, but not. I will say this: I've been less annoyed at the minute distribution the last three games than I was for a while. For a while, there was like an element of them just like clearly like trying to like make a statement of we're not playing.
Well, what about tonight? Will we see? Do you feel like now we've got
so that
a lot of fans.
Kennard comes back into the equation. I think it's Conchar.
So you know, a lot of fans are would love to see a change at head coach, and this is not the way
I will
we
say
want
so.
To see it. You know, our thoughts
I think
are
that exists
with
more online, but it is
There's fans.
It's out there online, but I do think that's a I think that's a very online thing.
Is it? I mean,
yes.
It's
in the group. In any of your, like, think about your high school buddies that watch the Grizzlies. Are they screaming about it? It does not exist in my high school group chat.
It does. They don't. Well, I mean, it's quite often you get off to a bad start in the NBA. That's what happens. So that's initially the way
well,
to fix
let's
it,
be
right?
clear. Like the first, yeah. If this enterprise doesn't go well, the first thing that gets changed is the coach.
I mean, it's like you're playing a video game, right? It's like it's not working right. You take it out, you blow on it.
Yeah.
The NBA team's it's not working right. You fire the coach.
That's the first thing you do.
That's what correct. You think of. Like, well, we're gonna fire the coach. So, and they're somewhat back on track now. But it is it could be an interesting exercise. It's definitely an added element of intrigue for tonight's game to have someone else.
Well, I mean, there is a question of
running the team,
to your point,
the team.
It's like number one rule in coaching is don't hire your replacement. Now, I also think right. that's a bad way to do it because I think oftentimes that's how you wind up with yes men and that's how you wind up with not a good coaching staff.
I mean, it could be, but like Nick Saban didn't really follow that rule.
Correct.
And so it's how confident are you in your
right.
in your job, but I don't think he's like what do we know about who's this or the new assistant coach we're learning.
I believe he is
because he just so got even though, this, he hasn't been, he was not here last year
even though he was on the French. I want to say he's Finnish. That for those out there, I mean literally from Finland.
Now I hear.
Yes, all right. Look at me go.
I mean, here he's pretty active at the games and participating in assisting. I mean, he really is assisting in the process.
The lead assistant.
He is assisting,
and I mean, he had the best teams in France the last couple of years. So his entire career has been spent coaching in Europe, and he's had success. He's only 42, but beyond that. What do we know? Not much. But there is the thought that, like, I don't know if the organization believes this, but I do know there are people that I would trust that believe if the Grizzlies were to make a change during the season, which no one really expects, that he would be the guy. There is that.
I mean, he is the lead assistant, so... That usually puts
but
you
he
in
have
that
any,
position.
Doesn't have any NBA coaching experience beyond this year.
Which is, yeah, that would be a...
And he's only coached in Europe.
Interesting decision.
But there is the reality of what happens if tonight goes really well. Like, does that heat up the online groundswell for the coaching's holding them back? Which I want to be very clear, I do not believe. I think right now the roster is holding them back because they've been missing for a large chunk of the 8 games. They've been missing 5 of their best players, 5 of their top 9. And so now they're winding up. They're basically playing, well, multiple guys are on two ways playing 30 minutes. Then you have two guys that you've elevated in Pippen and Huff that have been playing big roles. But like these are the guys that you're supposed to be the back end of your rotation. And instead, these are guys playing, you know, 25 minutes or more. So I think that's the bigger problem right now.
No, I agree. I'm not saying that the coach is the problem. I'm saying it could be put to rest tonight. You hope not. I mean, no, I hope not in the way that the Grizzlies lose while they're favorites, possibly with no Anthony Davis playing. But the minute distribution... Like, do you think he's got like a list of like this? You don't play these guys. This is how long they need to play.
I think it's pretty well scripted. I think it's pretty well scripted. I'm not saying that it's like.
Is this something he brought over from France?
Name a director that doesn't allow improv. Like, I'm not saying it's like that type of script, but it's usually like. Have you ever seen when they have the little like play sheet that they keep kind of in their back pocket? It's like a laminated, color coded, like. Sheet.
Right. Yeah.
That's usually the rotations along with like plays and whatnot. But it's usually this guy's going in at this point.
Wait, so the Grizzlies minute distribution this year is on a laminated sheet, you think?
It's most rotations are scripted pretty much. It again doesn't mean like it bats 1,000, but like it's because obviously foul trouble can come into play. Injuries can obviously sadly those impact.
Isn't
it
puzzling that this is how it's if this is
it's why I thought a lot of the I was as frustrated as anyone at the minute distribution, but I also thought a lot of the anger at Taylor Jenkins was misguided. I do not think Taylor Jenkins was. I think that was an organizational decision than it was a Taylor Jenkins going rogue, if you will.
Gotcha. I can see, yeah, he doesn't. It's not necessarily his. Him alone deciding that.
Correct.
Right.
I think there's a lot of front office involved in a lot of that. Then it brings the question of, so we've seen eight games. Do you feel
Grizzlies 4-4? They're at 500. Can you go over 500 or under tonight?
Better or worse than you did opening night before the ball was tipped? From what you've seen,
I feel a lot more worn out on trying to keep up with this season. It does feel like there's been a game every other day.
It feels like we did run a lot right out of the chute.
There was a game on Monday. There's a game today. There's going to be another game on Friday, right?
And yes. And then Sunday.
Another Sunday?
And then we have West Coast. We have three West Coast games starting Sunday. So,
oh, great.
Even though Sunday's only, I think, 8 p.m., but then you're going to have the Monday, Wednesday, 10 p.m., long nights.
The schedule. I don't forget because I always know I don't like the NBA schedule, but maybe it just should be every other day. Honestly, that's easier for me to keep up with. I want the schedule to be something where I know what's going on. If the Grizzlies are playing every other day, it's pretty easy to remember. It's like, hey, they didn't play yesterday. They got to be playing tonight. They're off tomorrow. And that eliminates back-to-backs. You play every other day.
How many days would that? So you would need 164, right?
They play 80. What, you play 82 games. Double that, yeah.
Right, 164.
And then the All-Star break?
Then you,
I guess, and then you got...
I wonder how many days is the actual regular season? Because 164 is 6 months, right? Basically?
Yeah. Yeah, let's just play every other day. 1 week you're at home, 1 week you're on the road.
So, let's see. Regular season goes...
my new schedule.
The regular season goes from, what was it, October 15th, roughly? I think that's what I heard.
Yeah, mid-October.
All right, so we had... So it's mid-October, so it's all October, so November, December, yeah. January, February, March... April. That's actually less, because I feel like the regular season always ends April 15th, and that'd be 7 months. So 164 days. And even if you throw in, like you said,
they're playing on holidays. I mean, they're playing on Christmas, so it's not like you really got to adjust the schedule that much. But
I wonder if that would be better or worse.
I don't know. I feel like one of my biggest problems with
travels where arena availability, whatnot. Like, I know the reasons. Like,
well, most of the arena availability is based, a lot of them now, especially like the Grizzlies, right? Is based off of what the Grizzlies schedule is, right? But
I don't know what takes priority, concerts or schedule, because we've seen oftentimes.
Once the schedule is locked in now, right, they could have a schedule in advance, like the Justin Timberlake concert.
Like, how, well, it's more of like how behind the scenes, like, we. When a concert gets announced, it's not like that's news to the arena. You know what I mean? Like, how far in advance are they booking concerts? My guess is that in some cases, years.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when you have the mega tours.
No, you're right. You know, some of them come up, and it could mess up your, then you got to play that game at Lander Center.
I was trying
to guess. I don't know what you would do. But, like, for the entire NBA,
is saying 176 days.
176.
So it's basically the same amount of time. Because if we were building in a week, you and I were building in a, like, throwing a week for the All-Star break, whatever. So 171 is kind of if you played every other day.
And I don't know how we would set it up. I don't know if we would set up the NBA totally. You know, I just came up with this idea. But
I think you'd have to feel like
they've been playing every other day, and they almost have been. Some of the, for most of this season, they've been playing every other day. And it's, to me, it's easier to keep up with instead of, is there a Grizzlies game tonight?
No, just vote yes.
Yeah.
The question, did they play last night?
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.